who will devote himself to be close to me, declares the Lord. And the context of this verse is God speaking to his people through the prophet Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah, for 40 years, was God's spokesman to Judah, and his message was basically to the people, repent and turn to God or he will punish you. But when he spoke, nobody listened to him. And how frustrating was that, when people don't listen to what you're saying? And that's how Jeremiah felt, you know, why don't you listen to what I'm saying? You need to repent, otherwise you're gonna be in trouble. But they didn't listen to him, and so we can imagine how often he felt discouraged and he wondered whether, you know, what he was saying was doing any good at all when people weren't listening to him. But despite the discouragement, he continued to courageously and faithfully proclaim the word of God to people. And in chapter 30 of Jeremiah, in the middle of his message to people, you know, you've sinned, you need to repent, you need to turn back to God, or you're going to go into exile, there came a message of great hope in chapter 30 of Jeremiah. And God said to them, after punishment is going to come restoration. So punishment isn't going to be the end. There is going to be restoration. And it's in this chapter that we read this amazing invite from God. Who is he who will devote himself to be close to me? And there are a couple of points I want to bring out of this little verse. And the first one is the fact that God wants to be close to us. And I like that. I don't know about you, but my desire is to be close to God. But I find it staggering that he wants to actually be close to me. But he does. And this is the undeniable, deep desire of the heart of God. He wants to be close to you. The Bible teaches us that God delights in us. And there's a verse that I'd like us to look at in the Song of Solomon. If you've got your Bible, you can turn there. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. And verse 14, and this verse expresses for me the fact that God really does delight in us. And in Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, my dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. If you don't know anything about the Song of Solomon, basically it's a love story of a lover and his beloved, and really it's a picture of us and Jesus. And so Jesus is saying to us, show me your face. It's lovely. You might not like various things about your face. You might feel your face is too fat or too thin. Maybe you've got too many wrinkles, you've got a double chin, or you've got crooked teeth or whatever. But God thinks your face is lovely. And he loves to see our face as we turn to look at him. It says in chapter 4 and verse 9 of Song of Solomon, you have stolen my heart with just one glance of your eyes. God absolutely loves it when we turn our attention to him. We can't quite grasp this, that actually we cause emotion in the heart of God. You have stolen my heart. Just when you just even glance up to God, let alone say anything, when you kind of think, when you look into God, when your mind is towards God, that absolutely thrills his heart. And when we come to God, he accepts us as we are with all our imperfections, doesn't he? Even if we don't like ourselves, if there's stuff we don't like about ourselves, God absolutely loves everything about us. He accepts us. He welcomes us. He showers his love on us. And he says to us, your face is lovely. I love it when you turn your attention to me. And I'm so glad that you've come to spend time with me today. There's nothing about you that makes me want to shun you. So show me your face. That's what God says to us. Show me your face. And the second thing he says is, Let me hear your voice. Let me hear your voice. And he says, because your voice is sweet to me. We might not think we're very good at praying, but God loves to hear us talking to him, however good or bad we are at it, and however we do it. It stirs something within him when we talk to God. And God loves it when we spend time with him because we want to be close to him. And I think this is the constant desire in his heart. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice because I want to be close to you. So that's my first point. God wants to be close to us. The question is, do you want to be close to God? Because there's an invite from God. Will you come and be close to me? It's an incredible truth that it's possible for us to be close to God, the creator of the world, that we can be close to him. And the second point I want to make is, although it's possible, it won't just happen. There's a key to it, and it's found in one word in the verse. And here it is. Who is he who will devote himself to be close to me? To be close to God depends on our devotion to him. And devotion, as we've heard so eloquently from that guy who wrote that thing in prison. Devotion is about dedication. It's about effort, time, commitment, sacrificing, environment, application, all things we put into anything that we want to achieve in life. So being close to God is possible, but how devoted do we really want to be about it? God wants us to go deeper into him. But the depth we go will depend on us. We can be as close to God as we want to be, but it won't happen without devotion. This is the key word in this verse, devote. Are you going to devote yourself to being close to God? The onus is on us. And as I've been thinking about this verse in Jeremiah, two other scriptures have come into my mind which I want us to think about as well. And the first one is very, very challenging, and it's in Isaiah chapter 5, if you'd like to turn there. Is it too hot in here? No? Yeah. Just turn it down a little bit. Right, Isaiah 5, verse 1 to 4. I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. And then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Verse 4, what more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? And the essence of what God is saying in these verses is, that he has done absolutely everything he can from his side to enable us to be close to him, to grow in him, to bear fruit for him. And so if we're not doing those things, it's not his fault, is it? And I think it's written all over these verses. There's a cry of frustration from God's heart that says, what more can I do for you? These verses are about God's vineyard, described in verses 7b. His garden of his delight. And we are his garden of delight. You and me are his garden of delight. And this is what God wants us to look like. He doesn't want us to look like this. In John 15, Jesus said, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But if anyone doesn't remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withered. So God doesn't want us to be like this. He wants us to be like this. But there's a little saying, and it says, if it's to be, It's up to me. If I want to be like this, then something's got to happen on my part, because God actually has done everything he can possibly do to enable us to be fruitful, to enable us to be close to him. Verse 1 tells us that he's planted us. It says in verse 1, my loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. God has planted us in rich, fertile soil. The soil couldn't be any better. All the nutrients are there. There's nothing there that shouldn't be there. And he has given us everything we need to be close to him and to grow. The verse in Ephesians says we have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And in 2 Peter it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So actually, God has done his work. He's given us his word. It's a means of grace. You know, through the Bible, he speaks to us. He ministers to us. He instructs us. He corrects us. He rebukes us. When it comes to sin, he says, listen, your sin is like scarlet, but let's reason together. Though they are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. God has provided forgiveness and cleansing. It cost him everything. What more can God do for us? His love and his mercy ever flow into our lives. You know, his goodness runs after us every day of our lives. His mercies are new every day. He's given us his Holy Spirit to live inside us, to help us live his way and to empower us. What more can he do for us? And when we wander away, he's still the waiting Father looking out for us, running towards us, arms outstretched to welcome us back again. When people still let us down, he's still there for us. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He's the ever-present one in time of trouble. He's the one who fights for us. He's the one who goes before us. When we pray to him, he answers. When we cry to him for help, he's there. We can talk to him at any time. What more can he do for us? In verse 2, it tells us that God has plowed the ground and he's cleared the stones. The reason Jesus came was to destroy the work of the evil one. God has cleared the ground for us. You know, he's given us the power over the evil one. And I like verse 2b. It says, and he built a watchtower. I think that's a brilliant little phrase. That in this vineyard, God, in the middle of it, he built a watchtower. And what a great thought that God watches over us all the time. He's always on guard. He's always there. He's always aware. He's always attentive. He's always available. What more can God possibly do for us? He's done everything. And God's heart is summed up in this verse 4. And I think this is very challenging. It says, what more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? God couldn't do any more for us. And I think verse 2c, it says, he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad. And I think that's a really sad verse in the Bible. After all that God has done for his people, what a sense of sadness in the heart that our lives sometimes don't produce the fruit when he's given everything. And his, you know, it cost him everything. Who is he who will devote himself to be close to me? And as we stand at the doorway of 2020, I want to ask you, do you want to be closer to God than you are now? And if you do, what are you going to do about it? It's such a simple message really today. If you want to be closer to God, what are you going to do about it? It will take devotion and commitment from your side to create the right environment in your life to produce growth. Maybe you need to make adjustments in your life to get into the Bible. If you need help with that, please let me know. Maybe you have to make adjustments to meet with other Christians for regular fellowship and prayer and breaking of bread. You know, we learned that verse, didn't we? I think it was the beginning of this year. You know, the Christians, they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the Bible, to fellowship together, to prayer, to breaking of bread. How much fellowship do you get with other Christians when you come together and you study the word together and pray? All of these things have been established to help us get closer to God, to one another and to grow in our faith. So I encourage you for 2020 to make a New Year's resolution to devote yourself to be close to Him. It's such an invitation from God to be close to Him. And finally, the second scripture that came into my mind as I was thinking about our main verse today is the next verse in the Song of Solomon. And it's verse 15, Song of Solomon, chapter 2. So he says to her, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 14, show me your face, let me hear your voice. And then he goes on to say, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. And I think this is a very important verse for us to take to heart. As we've seen, you know, a lot of work goes on in maintaining a vineyard, in creating it and maintaining it, both on God's part and ours. But the fact is that in our lives, there will always be little foxes who want to creep in and cause havoc in the vineyard. Foxes, I don't know if you know much about foxes, but they're very sly, they're very crafty, they're very subtle, cunning and artful animals. And they creep in almost unnoticed and they begin to destroy. One of their favourite foods is fruit in season. And so in a vineyard that is in bloom, they're in their element and they will destroy the beauty and the fruit. They might be small creatures, but they're mischievous, they spoil and they rob. And it's in their nature to kill if they have the opportunity. And what I just feel God wants to say is that as we just think about this fact of getting closer to God, that we need to be aware of the little foxes who try to get in and cause problems in our lives. See, God, the devil is out to destroy what God is doing, both in our individual lives and in our church, and he creeps in subtly to try and cause havoc. And we need to be on our guard that we don't give him a foothold. There's a very well-known verse in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, and it says, be self-controlled and alert. Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But we need to resist him and stand firm in our faith. We're in a battle, aren't we, with the enemy of our souls. But the Bible says that greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. And with his strength and power, we can overcome all the wiles of the enemy. And I just want to say we need to be on our guard against things that will come and destroy our relationship with God, things that pull us away from him. Let's be on our guard if there's stuff pulling us away from our commitment to God and to what he's called us to do, and from the sin that so easily besets us. It's interesting that the verse says, catch for us the little foxes that cause havoc. See, seemingly insignificant things, if they're not dealt with, they will grow and develop into something more serious. So we need to deal with things in our lives as they happen. We need to be on the guard against things that would come to cause, in our church, things that would cause to come division between us, little foxes that come, seemingly insignificant things that if they've left will grow into bigger things. So let's not ignore them. Let's deal with them. Let's nip them in the bud so that when they happen, let's sort stuff out. Let's not brush stuff under the carpet in our own lives and think, oh, it's only a little lie. Oh, it's all right if I watch that. It's all right if I do that. It's all right if I don't go to Bible study tonight. Little things come in, seeking, and what happens is they're seeking to destroy the work of God in our lives. And in our church, we need to sort things out between each other, get it sorted. Because if we don't, the Bible says a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Let's guard our relationships with one another and not allow any little fox to come in and spoil the vineyard that is growing. And the other emphasis in this verse is that the lover says to his beloved, he says to her, catch for us those foxes who are ruining our vineyards. Our lives belong to God. We are his vineyard. It's his vineyard. We're in it together. It's his work. And it's interesting to note who has to deal with the foxes. It ain't God. Me and you. God says to his beloved, You go catch them. You go deal with them with my help, with my strength, but you've got to do it. I can't do it for you. I've done everything I need to do for you. Now you need to take hold of this and you need to deal with it. We've got to be proactive. Let's build a watchtower, as it were, in the vineyard of our lives and be alert to those things that seek to creep in, to pull us off course, to cause havoc, to spoil the work of God in our lives. Foxes get in through small openings in fences and hedges. They also burrow a hole for themselves in the ground and they hide undetected. And so we need to be on our guard and recognise what is happening. So may God give you a fox-killing anointing in our lives so that, you know, we will blossom and our church will blossom and grow much fruit. So I return to the verse we started with. Who is he who will devote himself to be close to me, declares the Lord. And the question I have to ask is, will you devote yourself to being closer to God? Because if you want to be closer to God, that's what's called for to make it happen. Because God can't do any more. So my prayer for you as we enter this new year is that this will be the desire in your heart to be closer to God, and that you will do whatever is necessary for you to feed that desire. Amen. Amen. Little song here.